Good morning again. So how often do you stop? You know, just the other day, I was caught up in so many different things going on in my life, and I actually yelled at myself and said, stop. And I think about the song that we just sang, counting our many blessings, count them one by one. Think of all the things that God has done in our lives. And sometimes you just need to stop and consider. Do we ever stop to consider what we've accomplished and who we are, where we're at? Do we ever stop and consider the process of our life, where we're at in our lives and how we got here? Do we ever stop and consider that we're truly blessed by God, everyone? And as we think and contemplate upon ourselves, and I think that we need to take time and stop and be thinking about what is truly reasons, what true reasons are to be grateful. What to stop and be truly grateful to God for everything that He indeed has done. And more important and more to the point, to find out and spend time meditating on what is truly important, and that is being grateful to God. Being grateful to God, humbling ourselves about the unfathomable love that God has for us. Just so many things that we need to be thinking about, and we need to stop and take time out of our great day. I mean, seriously, God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He placed them in the heavens. And as our brother Calvin pointed out in one of his meditations, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't. And that certainly includes me. God doesn't need me. You know, but what I do know, and most assuredly, and this silly thing isn't working right. Let me see if I can't. What I do know most assuredly, and we'll just go from here, is that God is... All right, I'm going to shut this down and try it again here. What I know assuredly is that God doesn't need me, but I know for sure that God wants me. I know that God wants every one of you. I know that God wants everyone in this room, everyone in this world. There we go. That's what I know. I know that God wants you. And I know that He wants you, and I know that so much because Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, God wants you. God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, He wants you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be with Him in heaven. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He wants you. He wants you to be able to live spiritually, eternally with Him. Why else would God spend all of His love in the sense of bringing Jesus, demonstrate His love towards us while we're still sinners? Why would He do that and have His Son, Jesus Christ, die for us on the cross? Why would He do that? He said, but we are like an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This is describing the state of man. Like filthy rags. And you know, when I read that, what I'm reading is David, me. David, you're like an unclean thing. And all your righteousness, David, are like filthy rags. You fade as a leaf, and your iniquities like the wind have taken you away. And I'm humbled by that thought. Applying that scripture towards myself, I'm humbled. And so I must stop every once in a while and just think and be truly grateful for what God has done for me. Because I certainly am not worth it. And as we look at this lesson, there's just three simple points. We're truly grateful for His tremendous love towards us. We're truly grateful that God has provided us with a father and a mother, with a family that we can depend upon and that we can even help. And we should be truly grateful for the brethren, for the church family that we have here together. And it's a simple thing to be truly grateful for His tremendous love as you think about that. Here is something that I've come to know, at least in my mind, as an absolute. Every soul that has ever existed is a project of God's love. This creation is a project of God's love. The earth wasn't just a fun thing to do for God. God created the earth, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created everything. It was a project of God's love to save our souls so that we could be with Him. We should be grateful for His tremendous love. And this includes everything. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, and when He put the earth all together, He did that for you and me. Even though we weren't even born yet, He did that with you in mind. He predestined our salvation, and this creation that we live on is all part of it. When He created the earth, when He created the light and the dark, when He created the firmament and the dry land that came out, and the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens, when He created the creatures the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air, and when He created everything that walked and lived upon the ground, even man, He did that because of His tremendous love for you. And we need to stop. And we need to be mindful that God loves us that much. He created and provided a place for mankind to live and to flourish. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 15, He created that garden and He placed man in that garden to dwell in that garden, to tend the garden, and that He gave them everything He needed because He loves His creation. You know, Paul mentions that in Acts 20 or 17. Paul says, God made the world and everything in it. God is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. God gives all life, breath, and all things. It is God who has determined our pre-appointed times and boundaries. Because He loves you so much, He's created all these things and fashioned them for our good. And God didn't do it because He needed anything. But He does want something. He wants you. He wants your soul to be with Him forever. He wants you to wear the name Christian. He wants you to be obedient to the gospel. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to turn away from the sin that easily besets us and turn your eyes up onto heaven and look towards Jesus. That's what God wants. And as we look at this and we think about it, ask the queen, what does God do? You know, His intention so that we could all seek Him. That was why He did all these things. So that we could seek Him and that we need to realize that He's not far from any one of us. But what does God's love do for us? Well, one thing, He picks us up with His love. He lifts us right up. When we think about what James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And I can't help but think about what James is saying there and how, if I'm just realizing how great God's love is and I humble myself in the sight of God, that God is going to lift me up with His love. In fact, David wrote in Psalm 37, he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." For what? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. When you're downtrodden, when you're having difficulties in life, when things seem to be out of the ordinary, and there's all the pressures and the schemes of the devil seem to be all pointed towards you, God's holding you up with his hands. When we walk orderly according to God's purpose, according to God's will, when we trust in him completely, he lifts you up with his hands. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. God is right there. And when we think about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, you know, the steps of a good man include faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and gentleness, brotherly kindness and charity. John 15:8 tells us, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples." And so we need to have those steps before us, and God is the one who will lift us. He also shows us the right way. He doesn't leave us hanging out there. You know, we need to understand that our ways are not his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He's so much higher than us, but he shows us the right way. He cares so much out of his love that he will show us the right way. God offers a direction in our lives. He doesn't want us to follow any other way. Hebrews chapter 1 and at verse 2, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us the message that came down from heaven. That John 3:16 message that God so loved the world, He loved each one of us, that He gave us His only begotten Son. He loves you that much. He's willing to show you the way. James 1:18, "Of His own will begot He us by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." He's showing us a way through the word. Born again from that word. It was Jesus that says, "I am the light of the world," in John chapter 8 and at verse 12. He's the light of the world. He opens up the darkness and shows us that path that leads to everlasting life, that righteous path. In fact, Jesus is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He does that because he loves you so much. The fact is that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus talks about, in verse 14, he talks about that narrow, difficult way. Jesus is that narrow gate. He is that difficult way, but he is the way to everlasting life. And we need to recognize that. He'll lift us up when we, and he also gives us every opportunity. You're here today, you haven't accepted the gospel, God's giving you an opportunity today. If, Lord willing, you have breath tomorrow, he's giving you an opportunity tomorrow. The opportunities never end until your life comes to an end. God's love for us allows us to live in this world. He perpetuates this world and continues running this world, desiring that we'll come to the faith of and the knowledge of the truth, that we'll be saved. And he gives you every opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's made it very easy for us all. Don't waste God's hope for you. Don't waste his hope. Because these are opportunities, they will run out. God's not going to take them away, but there will come a time when the long suffering of God ends. And he will indeed bring this all to an end. And also, the time is short because our lives aren't eternal on this earth. We can perish from this earth in a heartbeat, in a moment, of a twinkling of an eye. You know, but the time is coming. I hope soon. when sinful man will receive his just punishment and the righteous in Christ, their just reward. It's going to happen. We don't know when. Listen to the Apostle Paul. But in accordance with your hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath. There's one side of this picture. And Paul goes on to say, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seeking for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. He's given us time, but he's telling us very clearly, here's that path. You choose the wide gate that leads to destruction, the narrow, difficult path that leads to eternal life, Jesus Christ or the devil. And so he gives us every opportunity. And don't forget the warning from Jesus towards children who don't abide in his teaching. In Matthew chapter 15 and at verse 4, Jesus is the one who said, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother." We have an opportunity to live a life that is filled with honor in this world and indeed towards him. So, he gives us every opportunity. Every opportunity. And as we think about this, we think about family and how important family is. And we're truly grateful for that family. Honor your father and mother, Jesus said. And there was a warning too, because Jesus said that he who curses father and mother will be put to death. And so that's one of the things that God is, we're truly grateful for is family. And in that family we have responsibilities. In that family we have opportunity. And we need to understand our roles as members of that family. That's a gift of God out of His love to give us family. It's a time to continue, hopefully, to use every opportunity that we receive to walk circumspectly, Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 15, to be wise. And as parents, we know just how fast time goes. Every parent here understands that children are just young and small and they transition from a total need to total independence. And it seems like it happens in a blink of an eye. We need to take advantage of family every moment that we have. Our children and our children's children. And we should be eternally thankful for God and His infinite wisdom that He made a plan. That anyone who desires to be part of this great family relationship that we call the church will have all the benefits and the advantages that go along with that. In other words, the brotherhood, the church, something that we all can be a part of. A family that recognizes a need for unity among all. Paul says, "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." That's a family in God. That's what makes us a family in God. Beside the fact that we're all of the same blood of Christ, we're all saved by the blood of Christ, we're all in this one family together. And we want to have that unity. We want to have that same judgment. And when we're willing to put in the effort, we can become the loving family that's pictured right there by the apostle. 1 Corinthians, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see attributes of the members of the family of God. As we look at this text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're just looking at verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. That's an attribute of a family of God. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own and is not provoked. Thinks no evil. An attribute for the family members of God. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Attributes of every family member of God. And in verse 8 at the beginning, love never fails. As a child of God living in God's family, if we adopt these attributes the way God's adopted us, if we think seriously about these kinds of descriptions for ourselves, and we live by them, and we exhort one another by them, then the conclusion is that we're a family of God, that we love one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with one another, giving thanks to God for all things. That's a family of God. And those are the things that God has given us. As you think back, three very, very simple things. God has given us His tremendous love in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us a family on this earth, a father and a mother, that we should... Well, you know, not every father and mother is the best father and the mother in the world, but my father provided a place for me to live. I had warmth in my room, in the house. I had clothes to wear and put on my back. He sent me to school, gave me an education. He did the absolute best that he could. And I'm thankful. And then, of course, we have the family of God. The family of God is a spiritual family, a family that is united together in the same mind and the same thought, as Paul said, and a family that's defined by love. These are things that we should be truly grateful for. In the opening text of Ephesians, we had the Scriptures read verses 15 through 21. And when you look at that, it's important for us to walk as a family, walk circumspectly. It's important for us to redeem the time because the days are evil. It's important for us to not be unwise but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's important for us to be filled with the Spirit, verse 18 at the end, and to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We need to stop. We need to stop and think about this and be thankful for everything that God has done for us. I'm truly thankful. I'm grateful. God's Word reminds me, it reminds all of us of what is truly, truly important. And it's far too easy to be distracted in this world. It's far too easy to fail to appreciate the most important things, to be caught up in too many complicated daily activities, to be able to embrace God's love, to embrace His love and to embrace the family He's given us and to embrace the church. Too many people are not stopping to be grateful, truly grateful for what God has done. You know, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Listen, I'm thankful. I'm grateful to God that this church is able to present that gospel message on a daily/weekly basis. You too can have the hope. You too can be thankful and grateful for what God has done. I'm grateful that you've been blessed to be here today. I'm grateful that we've all been blessed to worship God today. And I'm grateful for all the family of God where love never fails. John wrote a new commandment, or Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's amazing. Why not add the incomparable blessings to your own life? What God has done is for you. All of creation, Jesus coming down, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus being resurrected, Jesus offering His blood so that you can be saved. It's all for you. You can be grateful this day, if you're not already grateful, by obeying Christ and being baptized and having your sins washed away and being added to that glorious church, the body of Christ. Will you? Do you have a need this day? Do you? If you do, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.